This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. So first up, the massive floods have affected more than 66,000 people so far. The focus really has been on getting everyone to safety, but we do also need to talk about mental health and psychological first aid.
Yes, because, I mean, let's face it, right? This has been a very traumatic thing. A lot of people were caught by surprise. And we're talking about, as you mentioned there, threats to actual physical safety that you might be feeling, but also feelings of loss. People have lost people. People have lost belongings. People are going to have to deal with the aftermath of this for some time, as and when they can return to their homes and actually take stock of how many things have been damaged, what else needs to happen now in order to fully recover, all these different things.
Yeah, and as you actually covered there, I think there are many aspects to this, right? There is the immediate impact of having gone through something like this. I can't even imagine. And for different people, there are various things that they would have had to contend with: the loss of possessions, the loss of homes, the loss of livelihoods, the loss of life and loved ones in some cases. But then there's also going to be the mental and emotional exhaustion of having to deal with the recovery and having to pick up the pieces and try and reassemble life. And as we move forward as well. So as it often happens with situations like this, I think we do quite necessarily focus on the immediate need, the physical need. But often at times like that, then the mental health support tends to fall through the cracks. And I'm not even actually sure what we're offering in terms of that.
Yes, because if we look at the kinds of aid and support that is being offered by the government as well as the people, it's really focused on moving people to safe ground, to higher ground. It's also focused on ensuring that people have enough clothing and food and sanitary supplies, you know, all these different things. But in the midst of that, I'm actually not even certain from a purely logistical point of view, what getting psychological first aid to people in these centres, for example, what that would entail at the moment. We bemoan often how we don't actually have enough mental health care professionals to begin with. And this is something that, again, the pandemic has really laid bare. So in a situation where there is an emergency and where actually moving people physically from place to place can be difficult, I'm not certain how it is that we can properly account for that, or whether it is something that we have to think about in a phase of recovery later on, once people are actually able to return and settle slightly. So I think that's kind of what we wanted to get at today, right? When we talk about psychological first aid, the question of immediacy, the question of logistics, these are all things that we need to think about.
I must admit that until I spoke off air with our guest, who we'll be speaking to shortly, Hetal Doshi, I didn't even think about that notion of psychological first aid, also because so much of what's been happening is so fresh and quite overwhelming. So I'm actually quite interested to understand as well what that looks like and what we need to put in place. That's what we'll be talking about. Really, mental health support at this difficult time for people who have been affected by the floods. We would like to hear from you. If you've been affected by the floods, what do you need most right now? You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. After this, we'll be joined by organizational psychologist and CEO of OPSYC, Hetal Doshi. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning, BFM 89.9.
It is just coming up to 5:12. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Sharmila and Lynn. And today we're talking about psychological first aid, mental health support for those affected by the floods. And we'd like to hear from you. If you've been affected, what do you need most right now? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now is Hetal Doshi, who is an organizational psychologist, CEO of OPSYC. Hetal, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
So we're really just days past the floods and we're still in recovery. What are some of the most immediate mental health challenges that victims might be facing?
Well, they're definitely going to go through a cycle of grief. And in this particular cycle, like, it could range from denial, which is the fact that it even happened to them and why it happened to them, anger about the fact that it did happen to them and potentially the way that it was managed. Bargaining, meaning, you know, hoping that things could go back to the way that it was. And definitely, you know, moments of depression coming in already before, depending on how people accept it, or depending on how people cope with it. Some people may take a very quick time to accept it. Some could take years before they begin to eventually accept what has happened to them. These are the typical reactions that they would be going through.
So in this context then, could you explain to us what psychological first aid is?
Sure. Psychological first aid is an evidence-based, yeah? So it's not just what I'd like to do in the moment, but it's based on evidence and science. It's a humane and supportive response to a fellow human being who is suffering and who may need support. So it's a scientific approach to being able to support anyone who might be suffering. It is also an acute intervention, meaning it's not a full-fledged intervention. When responding to the psychosocial needs of children, adults, families affected by disaster and or terrorism. And the whole point of it is to reduce the initial distress caused by the potential event. And the ultimate benefit of it is to reduce the rate of depression or psychological trauma that a person could have over a period of time.
Could you then walk us through the steps that are needed in offering victims psychological first aid?
Sure. An easy way of remembering this would be through the acronym ASSIST. So ASSIST would be approach the individual in a non-intrusive, compassionate and helpful manner. You know, having your cameras around, approaching them with your cameras or asking them very judgmental questions or intrusive questions can probably be quite detrimental to them. So the approach of psychological first aid is not only about the things that you should do, but the things that you should definitely not be doing as well. The next two S's would be about stabilizing their emotions by asking them questions rather than telling them how to feel. And also beginning the process of volunteering. So we have a lot of volunteers on site, but beginning the process of volunteering with an end in mind, meaning these are all the ways that we can support you, not just help you currently, but serving their needs, being able to get them the support that they need eventually. So beginning with the end in mind, providing also information and facts, supporting their story rather than going against their story. So say, for example, if their family members are trapped or their pets are trapped and they don't want to be leaving their family members or pets, supporting their story by first agreeing with it and then only negotiating and influencing following that particular episode. And then also eventually, as you can see, turning them again to services that could continue to help them. So the whole thing is very outcome-based rather than just jumping into the situation without really having clarity on potentially what can be done to support them rather than hurt them in the process.
So based on what you know, do we have services currently available that actually address these challenges?
Actually, it's I think it's quite fad-based, yeah? I hope that I'm not, you know, stepping above any or crossing any boundaries while I'm saying that. Every time there's a disaster, you would see a spike potentially in associations or the government providing psychological first aid training programs. But these programs shouldn't be fad-based, right? I mean, that's the whole, it defeats the whole purpose. It should be there as if it was as important as physical first aid. And this is what I think countries like Singapore have done reasonably well by having a goal and a vision in mind that every single human being or every single team in a workplace or every single building would have somebody who's equipped with psychological first aid skills rather than something that's offered later as a reactive kind of measure. So no, not any that I know of that proactively addresses that. However, I do know that there are associations like, for example, the Red Cross that would be providing some of these services.
Why is this so important? Why is it important that these flood victims get the right kind of immediate mental health support?
Yeah, so for example, in the flood, I think it was in 2015 or 2016 in Kelantan, when they did a little bit of a survey via the Department of Social Welfare Malaysia, a total of about 15,000, approximately 15,000 children and about 300 adults were found to have suffered from depression and trauma as a result of the floods. This could mean things like not being able to sleep or losing the appetite or having triggers from the memory or the event itself, and also finding it difficult to readjust to even normal situations where there could be small little triggers. The whole reason of having it is not necessarily just for the particular moment, but to reduce the impact that we tend to experience over longer periods of time. I think if anyone has ever gone through a breakup or a small crisis or big crisis, although it is really terrible in the particular moment, over a period of time, you kind of remember the memory with the same kind of passion that you did in that particular moment itself. And this is because it gets caught in our cellular memories. It kind of triggers a similar response as well. So it's number one, it's to reduce the long-term impact. But number two, it's really valuable for the volunteers. So volunteers tend to end up having very similar triggers to the survivors because it is this event where both have a shared experience. Both of them end up having a very similar potential long-term effect as well. So being prepared before you go and help somebody who's in distress obviously gives you a lot more control. And when it comes to stress, the formula of stress or the experience of stress as a formula would be with regards to amount of control and amount of support that you have. So the more in control you have with the relevant skills and resources, the better it is for you as well. Obviously, support ends up being a standardized experience that the more of it you experience, the better for you as well.
And I suppose considering how chaotic it is right now and how many different efforts are being made for people who have been affected by the floods, how can rescue and relief efforts make time and make space for mental health care?
It's really difficult to make time for anything while you're going through a crisis, much less helping others in crisis. Your adrenaline is at a supersonic speed. And everything that your body is telling you to do as a volunteer or a survivor is to just make sure that you are in a safe place and a safe space. So it's very unlikely that if you're not physically, if you're not psychologically trained, that you'll be able to do it in that moment itself. So again, best thing to do is to get yourself trained. But otherwise, the body is such an amazing miracle in itself. I think in Malaysia, you've seen people making hay while the sun shines, or rather when the floods are going on. By there was a guy who was fishing in a small little flooded area. There was another guy who was enjoying his boat ride. So a couple of things that people can do for their mental health would be the typical things, like, for example, spiritual, relying on spiritual sources, your own religion, your own spiritual pathways. Sense of humor is always really, really valuable. Hopefully appropriate at that point in time. Breathing techniques are extremely valuable, and even the people who go diving and they save people underwater, they do a 1-1-1-1 technique, which is to breathe in 1 second, hold 1 second, breathe out 1 second, hold 1 second. So slowing down your breathing as a counterintuitive measure of everything that your breath is going on speed. So slowing it down can be really, really valuable. Obviously, social support can be super valuable. Volunteering is actually really, really valuable as long as you are. So while you are in distress, helping other people can be extremely valuable as long as you're doing it from a point of where your glass is full as well, not, completely empty. Just taking the typical measures can be quite valuable. Obviously, after that, some of the things that one should do is to go through debriefing exercise, make sure that they take everything out of their system through talking. And if need be, if they're going through, over a period of the next 2 weeks, if they're experiencing more symptoms, then definitely get professional help as well.
On an individual level, what can people affected by the floods do to care for their own mental health?
Yeah, I think it would be a very similar thing. Reflection on what has happened, but not too much of it. Having a lot of support around you to talk about it as much as you need to. Journaling, volunteering, sharing your experiences, having a reasonable sense of humor. Again, as mentioned earlier, everything that a volunteer does is what a normal human being can do for themselves. Volunteers typically should go through a debriefing on top of everything else just to let everything out.
Is there a final message you'd like to leave us with?
I think one of the most important things that we can do with our lives is to use both of our hands, one to help ourselves and the other to help others. But when we're helping others, let's also be trained to do it so that we're not causing more hurt to others and to ourselves. And really hope that there's a pervasive belief throughout humanity that though the world sometimes be a scary place to live in, that there will always be some skilled people around us, if not lots, to to pick us up when we are down. And, you know, let's all really pick up skills like psychological safety or psychological first aid so that we are a little bit more prepared the next time it happens, rather than being, you know, putting ourselves in more shock, especially when crisis and disaster seems to be compounding on top of each other these days.
Ethel, thanks for speaking with us today.
You're most welcome. And I hope all of you at BFM take care of yourselves as well.
Thank you. You too. That was Hetal Doshi, organizational psychologist and CEO of OPSYC, speaking to us about the psychological first aid, mental health support that those affected by the floods need. We'd like to hear from you. If you've been affected, what do you need most right now? You can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.